Please take your Bible and open to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and verse number 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and verse number 12. I chose that hymn that we just sang on purpose because it goes along with the thought or the message, the thought of the message for this morning, which is dealing with God's guidance, all right? You know, the title of the hymn was Guide Thou Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And God has a willingness and a desire to guide us in our life and to help us with our decisions and to lead us from day to day. Sometimes, of course, we're better at listening to Him and following Him than we are at other times. Sometimes we're not very good. This morning in the Sunday school time, we're in 1 Samuel and looking at Saul and some of the silly decisions that he made. He wasn't always that good at following God's direction and God's advice. And I don't know that we are all that well at doing it either, but hopefully we will be. Hopefully as we go along in our Christian life, we learn to follow the Lord and to receive His guidance and do what He wants for us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, that's our text. And then I'll pray, and then we'll get into the outline today. Notice, if you would, verse 12. Now we have received, speaking to Christians, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's referring to somebody who's not saved yet, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, now that's referring to somebody who is saved, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I would like for you to understand as we go through the outline today that we have a great advantage that sometimes we don't really take advantage of. And that great advantage that I'm referring to is the fact that we have the Spirit of God living within us. As a Christian, as a believer, we have the Spirit of God living within us, and He wants very much to guide us and direct our steps as we go through life. So we'll talk about that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to listen to the Word of God and principles from the Word of God that hopefully will help us in our Christian life. Please open our ears and open our hearts to understand, not just to hear, but to understand this wonderful, wonderful truth. Bless us now as we go forward in the message. Help me as I speak that I could speak clear and plain and understandably to each and every person. I do ask, Lord, that you'll have your will to be done in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receiving God's guidance. That's my title this morning. Receiving God's guidance. It's possible. It's possible for you and I to receive God's guidance because we are saved and have the Spirit of God living within us. That moment that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you are given the Spirit of God who takes up residence inside you. He takes up residence inside you, and isn't this a good thought? He'll never leave. He'll never leave. In fact, as the Bible says over and over in different places, thoughts like this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always going to be there. You can count on that. There'll be times, of course, when you'll wonder if he's still there. There'll be times when you'll wonder, but he's never left. He's promised that to us in his word. It happens the very moment we receive Jesus as our personal Savior. He takes up residence inside us, and he's there to help us, to guide us, to enlighten us, to help us in the decisions that we make. He helps us as we read the Bible. He helps us as we pray. He helps us even as we listen to the Bible being talked about and spoken of. He's there to help us and to give us that guidance that God wants to give us to help us in our life. You know, there's a verse, and I have it here in my notes, Romans 8:14. You ready? Here it is. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Think about that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's Romans 8:14. And so today I want to talk about you and I being led by God, by the Spirit of God, this guidance that God wants to give us, how very important it is that we, I'll phrase it this way, tap into that guidance and allow God to guide us, or like the title says, receive God's guidance. I do believe this, and I hope you understand this. I don't think God forces it on any of us, but he does offer it. You know, there's a verse in the book of James. I don't have this in my notes, but there's a verse in the book of James that talks about this way. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, God wants to give you that guidance, but I don't think he'll force it on you. He was asking for you and I to receive it, to accept it, and then, of course, to use it in our life. So that's really the thrust of what I want to talk about today. The first main point this morning is we receive God's guidance when we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive God's guidance when we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I already mentioned this, but we receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of our salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, listen, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Everybody here who knows Jesus as their personal Savior has the Spirit of God living within you. That's a promise from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We started out with that in our text today. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You get the idea here. If you do belong to the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within you, and he's there, and he'll never leave. It's through the Spirit of God who lives within us that God leads us and guides us and offers to us this guidance that we're talking about today. If you are saved, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you have the Spirit of God, and that guidance then is available to you. Now, going on in this first point, we receive His Spirit at the moment of salvation, but we receive His Spirit and we need to look to Him for that guidance. It's not enough for you and I to believe that we have the Spirit of God. That's important that you believe that, okay, and understand that, but just to believe that you have the Spirit of God doesn't guarantee that you and I will be walking in the Spirit or following His guidance. Just because we have the Spirit of God doesn't mean that God is leading us and God is guiding us. I know individuals, and I'm sure many of you do as well, that they claim to be saved, but they're not following God's guidance. See, so we need to look to Him for that guidance. While it is true that He'll never leave us, it's also true that we need to look to Him and ask Him for that guidance and receive that guidance, accept that guidance as we face the different circumstances that come up in life. Amen. Recently, and it goes back now several weeks, but I asked our church family to pray for Sarah and I because we had an unspoken request. We've had a couple of individuals who have come to me, I don't know if they've come to you, and asked if that prayer request has been answered yet. I wish I could tell you different, but it hasn't been answered yet. I don't feel comfortable telling you what the unspoken request is. That's why it's an unspoken request. But I can tell you this. It's a very important prayer request. It's something that I would still encourage you to pray about with me and with Sarah. And just ask the Lord to show us what to do and what he Not that he has to show us what he's going to do, but I am asking God to handle a certain situation for me that needs to be handled, okay? And he'll do a lot better job at it than I will. So you know how hard it is sometimes, isn't it, to keep your hands out of it and just let God handle it? It's one of those, okay? So I've been praying about this and pray about it several times a day, every day, and I'm asking you to do that as well. But again, I'm along the way, I'm looking for his guidance. I'm looking for his wisdom and his understanding on all these things, because we know this is true, don't we? According to God's word, he knows the end from the beginning. And he knows what should happen, and he knows when it should happen, and all that. And I'll be honest, I've gotten involved in things similar to this in the past and only messed it up. So I'm trying to just let God handle it and asking him to, and it seems to be taking forever. But I'm asking you to pray with me about this, okay? And just, you don't have to know what it is, just Lord, you know about pastor's unspoken request. Please help him with that, and please handle that for him and take care of it. So again, his advice, his guidance, his counsel, it's there and it's available, but we have to accept it and we have to seek it and ask for it. See, if we neglect him, God the Holy Spirit, if we neglect him and we don't look to him for guidance and we try to do it on our own, we're not going to get the guidance that we really need for the circumstances of life that come up in our path. Think about this, friend. Why would God give you guidance if you have no desire for it? So again, we need to desire it. We receive his Spirit at the moment of salvation. We receive his Spirit, but we need to look to him for guidance. We receive his Spirit at salvation, of course. Then we also need to walk with him. We need to walk with him, all right? You know, Micah 6:8. I quote that a lot around here, but he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? We need to walk with him each and every day. Let's not get too complacent about the fact that he came in at salvation and he'll never leave us no matter what. Let's not get complacent about that. But let's try our best to walk with him each and every day and just follow each day, one day at a time. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, you remember this. Give us this day our daily bread, right? How does God give us advice and guidance? Isn't it this day? It's every day, see? Help us every day to walk with you, Lord, and to follow your advice and to follow your guidance. The wonderful grace of God will walk with us and help us, but we got to be willing to walk with him. A couple of times in the Bible, God speaks about men like Enoch who walked with God. It speaks about Abraham and says that he was a friend of God. You know, I don't know about you. I want to be like that, don't you? I want to be one that God would say, well, you know what, Mark Weiss, he walked with me. And he was my friend, like it says about Abraham. I want to be that kind of a person. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, we have to be willing to walk with God to receive his guidance. So, again, number one, we receive God's guidance when we receive his Spirit. We receive that Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, but then we need to look to him for guidance, and we need to walk with him each and every day as best as we can. And can I say this right here? Nobody will do it perfectly, including myself, but do the best you can with it. You know, try, and try your best to follow the Lord and walk with him every day and seek his advice and his guidance, and you'll see along the way, he'll be helping you, and he'll be guiding you. And there'll be others who won't, of course, but that's their choice. You do what you know in your heart God wants you to do. Second thing I want to talk with you about this morning concerning receiving God's guidance is, number one, we receive God's guidance when we receive his Spirit. Number two, we receive God's guidance when we receive his knowledge. His knowledge, okay? And when I say receive his knowledge, I'm talking about being in the Bible, all right? Being in the Bible. Yesterday, I mentioned this in Sunday school to the adult class, but yesterday we had the board meeting for the Access Women's Center, and after we conduct all our business, it usually takes about 2 hours, we have a time of prayer. And naturally, we pray for the center and the volunteers that work there and for Stephanie, who's the director, and we pray about the finances. And then usually there's individuals that have personal requests. One of the men, who happens to be a pastor, asked that God would help all of us pastors magnify the Bible in our churches. Magnify the Bible, because, and I know where I know this guy, and I know where he was going with this. In some churches, they don't magnify the Bible. They talk about stories and, you know, the pastor's life and his accomplishments and whatever else. What we need, friend, are not stories about my life. What we need are God's words, right? God's truths, God's principles. And so we receive God's guidance, not only through the Holy Spirit when we got saved, he comes to live inside of us, but we also receive his guidance when we receive his knowledge, and that knowledge of God is found within the Bible. The Bible is the place where God reveals himself to us. The Bible is the place where God reveals his will to us, where God reveals what he expects from us. If we are not in the Bible, we're not going to learn those things. We need to be reading God's word each and every day. We need to see what it says and let it speak to us. I don't know what you do in your Bible reading, but when I read the Bible with my wife, we do try to do this every day together, and have done it now for well over 45 years together, you know, reading through the Bible at least once a year, just in our Bible reading, besides any study or preparation. But when I read the Bible, I like to read it as if God's talking right to me. It doesn't matter if I'm in Genesis or 1 Corinthians or Revelation, as if God is speaking directly to me. That's how I read it. And I realize there's things in the Old Testament that don't apply today, but there are things in the Old Testament that do apply today. And the same with all the books in the Bible, see? So I read it as if God is talking right to me. It's just he and I just having this personal conversation, and he talks to me as I read the Bible, and then I talk to him as I spend time in prayer. And so I'm looking for his guidance and for his help, and to do that, I've got to be in the Bible, see? If I'm not in the Bible receiving God's guidance, there's a good chance that I'm not going to walk in the light. There's a good chance I'll be walking in the darkness. There's a lot of folks today that are walking in the darkness, you know that? And some of them call themselves Christians. But it's because they're not in the Word. They're not studying the Word of God. They're not finding God's knowledge. His knowledge is found not only within the Bible, his knowledge is found within an open Bible. In other words, like this, open, okay? If it sits closed like this, day after day on my coffee table or wherever, it's not doing me any good. Say, have you ever noticed this? You walk past your Bible. Does it ever go, psst, pick me up and read me today? Does it ever do that? By the way, if it ever does, run! Run, because it's not supposed to do that, okay? But see, seriously, I'm having some fun with you here this morning, but seriously, it doesn't do that. I've noticed that. In all the years that I've been a Christian, the Bible not one time has ever gone, psst, psst, open me today and read me. I have to make the decision to do that. I have to make the decision to do that. Now, as I open the Bible and read it, it does speak to me. Not an audible voice, of course, but it speaks to my heart and to my life and so forth. And God shows me all kinds of things, sometimes things I wouldn't necessarily want to know. You know, conviction sets in. But his knowledge is found within an open Bible. God's word is filled with his knowledge from cover to cover. But again, it does us no good if it's closed. It's got to be open. As long as the cover remains closed, the wisdom and knowledge of God is also closed to us. But if we open it and read it and study it, we'll know and understand and be able to follow God's wisdom and God's knowledge. So his knowledge is found within the Bible. It's found within an open Bible. Now, here's another point here. His knowledge is found within an open reader. An open reader. You see, we must not only have a Bible and open that Bible, we must have an open heart and mind to see and understand what God is saying to us. You got to read it with an open heart, in other words, willing to hear what God has to say, hopefully willing to obey what God has to say. If you read it with a closed heart or a closed mind, thinking perhaps, I've met some folks like this, I hope there's nobody like that here, but I've met some folks, I think, in my life who think they already know what it says. Or like one person I talked to one time said, well, I read the Bible from cover to cover. What else you got? I told him, I said, read it again. What? Read it again? Yes. Many of us who read and reread the Bible find out that each time we read it, we see things we didn't see the last time. And so we're learning and we're growing all the way along. I mentioned this about you and I reading the Bible, you know, more than 45 years in a row together, and been a Christian now for 51 years this last January, and I'm still seeing things in the Bible that I hadn't seen before. Such an amazing book. Someone who thinks that reading it through one time, you're going to catch everything that's there, you're mistaken, friend. You're mistaken. If you read it 100 times, you'll still not exhaust everything that's in there. Read it and reread it and read it every day. Read it with an open heart. Be willing to accept what God says, even if it is convicting, and then do your best to apply it to your life and the daily circumstances that come up. If your Bible is open and your heart is open, I guarantee you God's going to show you His wisdom and His guidance and His counsel. We receive God's guidance when we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive God's guidance when we receive His knowledge. And then the third thing I want to talk to you about this morning is this. We receive God's knowledge and guidance when we pray. When we pray. I want to show you another passage, if you would go there with me real quickly. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Here's a great verse, and you're familiar with it, I'm sure, but I'd like you to see it. And I'd like to point out a couple of things that this verse says. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, you know, of course, this chapter is the great chapter of faith heroes from Bible times, and it speaks about great events and accomplishments of them and so forth. But verse number 6 is a key verse in this chapter. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Him there is God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, that would be us, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that God is, and that God is a rewarder, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All right? So we receive God's guidance not only because of the Holy Spirit who's within us, not only because we have an open Bible and we're trying to be open to the Bible, but we receive God's guidance when we pray. When we pray. You and I need to be men and women of prayer. And praying and asking God for His guidance and His direction in our life. When we pray and ask God for guidance, we need to pray expectantly. Now, I know you hear that a lot on Wednesday nights. We take all our prayer requests, and normally I'll say something like that. Let's divide up into small groups and let's pray over these things with expectancy. In other words, expecting God to hear and expecting God to answer. Same thing when it comes to praying for God's guidance. Praying expectantly. Did you notice this verse says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith, again, is believing that God will hear and God will answer. Again, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See, that's all expectancy. Expecting God to hear. Expecting God to answer. Expecting that the very guidance I'm looking for will be given to me. This issue that I was referring to earlier with the unspoken request, It's been several weeks now. And you and I, Sarah, were talking, you know, it seems, because it does, doesn't it? When you're praying for something important to you and you don't seem to be getting the answer you're seeking, doesn't it seem like God's not listening? If we're honest, I'm the pastor here, but I'll admit that. You wonder, is God really hearing me? Is there something blocking the channel from me to God that he's not hearing me? And yet deep in my heart, I know that because the Spirit of God shows me this, I'm listening. My timing may not be your timing. My ways might not be your ways. My thoughts might not be your thoughts. I am listening, and in my good time, I am going to take care of that for you. Not that God is waiting, but God's timing is perfect. And I have to believe that. So we pray about this several times a day, and we pray every day about this and have now for several weeks. And I can honestly say this, and I mean this sincerely, every day I pray about this, I expect the answer today. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to be honest with you, friend, and I hope you'll hear this. What's the point of praying and not expecting it to be answered today? Huh? Why do that? You know, I'll just throw it out there and hopefully he'll consider it one day. That's not me. I don't know about you. I want the answer right now. Huh? That's me. I want the answer. I mean, when I open my eyes, I expect the answer to be there. Please understand, I'm not trying to put any restraints on the Lord or, you know, things, you know, you got to do it my way. I'm not trying to say that. But that's the expectancy that I have, see? I expect that God has heard me. I expect that he's going to answer me. And I expect that it's going to be soon. And so I just expect God to answer. When you pray, pray for his guidance expectantly. Pray for his guidance, by the way, you ready? Frequently. Frequently. Look at the verse again, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Did you get this now? And that he is a rewarder. Let me say it one more time. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice it does not say he is a rewarder of them that ask one time and then forget about it. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, it kind of reminds me of another principle that Jesus gave us in the Gospels about asking and seeking and knocking. And the idea in those words is you ask and keep on asking. You seek and keep on seeking. You knock and keep on knocking. People will say to me, Pastor, how long do you pray about that? And I normally say something like this, until you get an answer. Until you get an answer. Isn't it true that if it's really important to you, you'll keep on asking? You ever wonder sometimes if God waits just to see if we are really serious about it? Or to see how much it really means to us? That's why I say pray for guidance frequently. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. How long? Until the answer comes. Until the answer comes. By the way, that's what you and I are going to do on this matter. We're going to keep praying until the answer comes. All right, we receive God's guidance because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, because we have his word in the Bible, his knowledge. We receive God's guidance when we pray. And when we pray, we need to do it expectantly. We need to do it frequently. And then I want to suggest this also, where to pray for his guidance submissively. Submissively. Please notice again the verse, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith believes that God's way is best. Faith believes that God's timing is best. Faith believes that God's will about this situation, whatever it is best. So we need to pray submissively. Sometimes that's hard. I mentioned to you a moment ago, you know, I expect the answer to be there when I lift up my head and open my eyes. You don't want to put any restraints on God, and you don't want to put any demands on God, but you want to pray with expectancy. And as you pray expectantly and frequently, you also have to remember the submissive part. Because again, God told us this in His Word. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts and ways are far above yours. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows what needs to be done and when. You and I don't. And submissive, sometimes that can be hard. Because as human beings, we want what we want, and we want it now. But God doesn't always work with our timetable. Have you noticed that? He has a different timetable. And I have to submit my will to His. So submit yourself to whatever God wants. Let Him work it out. Let Him handle it. Let Him show His wisdom and His will and His timing. Let God do it. If it's worked for you at all like it's worked for me, when I try to make it happen, it usually gets messed up. And so I've learned and am still learning to be submissive to what God wants. We're talking this morning about receiving God's guidance. Does He want to guide us? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He wants to show us each and every step we should take. The foolish person is the one who won't submit to that. God wants to give us that guidance, but we have to receive it. We have to be willing to accept what He has for us. We need to depend on the Spirit of God who lives within us. We need to depend on His Word, which is where His knowledge is found. We also need to pray and ask Him and be submissive and pray frequently and pray expectantly. And if we'll do that, God will give us the guidance that we need. Now, would you agree with me? I'm almost done. That the world in which we live today is messed up? Amen. Don't you wish we had someone in the White House who practiced what we're talking about here? Would gather his cabinet together and, I mean, really, honestly, seek God's guidance and wisdom for the nation? I think it's been many, many, many years since we've had somebody do that in the White House. We need that. We need a Congress that would do that. We need that to happen in Madison with our governor. And with the representatives that supposed to serve us there. I mean, we need that in our churches. We need that in our families. Seeking God's guidance and receiving it from Him and then walking in that guidance that He gives us. God wants to give it to us. I wonder, are we willing to receive it? The world is messed up. It really is. But those of us who know the Lord can still walk with Him and in His will each and every day. Trust Him to guide you and direct your steps each and every day. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to give a normal invitation today because we don't have our pianist with us, but just standing, everyone, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder, first of all, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you know for sure that Jesus is your Savior? Do you know in your heart that you are saved and on your way to heaven? If so, would you lift your hand that I could see it? Okay, all over the audience. Thank you for that. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know that for sure, I don't want to embarrass you, but I'd be willing to talk with you afterwards and I can explain it to you and I can pray with you and you can get saved before you leave today. So if you couldn't raise your hand earlier, come and see me afterwards. I'd be happy to talk with you. But you're here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're standing with me. How many of you here would be willing, like we talked about in the message today, to trust the Lord, trust the Holy Spirit, trust the Bible, trust prayer, to give you that guidance for your life that you need And you'll try to practice some of the things we talked about today. If that's you, would you lift your hand up this morning? Thank you. All over the audience, many hands. Dear Lord, I know this is an unusual invitation from what we usually do, but you saw the hands of the people. You saw the hands of the ones that said they were saved. We're thankful for that. Anyone here that didn't raise their hand, Lord, help them to seek me out afterwards so that we can talk about that and pray about that together and settle that today. Many raised their hand also about your guidance and receiving your guidance, trusting the Spirit of God who lives within them, trusting the knowledge that's found in the Bible, trusting prayer and seeking the Lord and asking expectantly and frequently and submissively for your guidance. Lord, help them not just to raise the hand, but actually to do that in their life each and every day. Help us, Lord, please. I'm one too that I need your guidance and your direction every day. Please help it to be true in our lives. Now, Lord, as we dismiss our service today, please go with us, protect us, bring us back again this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.